muskie by the boat, he's about to take it. You start to freeze, you figure eight, but you are weak in the knees. Cause it's just a thriller, chewy thriller night. Cause this is thriller, chewy thriller night.
He presents the classic Halloween Songs of Muskie Fishing, the greatest muskie fishing Halloween compilation ever to exist.
It was a monster catch, a monster muskie catch. It was a monster catch, a monster muskie catch. I was fishing in the lake late one night when my beheld a slimy sight. Pulled a monster from the deep with a dive and rise. Hit the bait to my surprise.
They did the mash.
It was a monster catch,
the monster mash.
A monster muskie catch.
They did the mash.
It was a monster catch.
But the hits don't end there. Over 734 hours of classic musky Halloween songs from JSE.
Musky, gonna catch you in a figure eight. Gonna catch you on a glide bait.
Songs of Muskie Fishing, $4,043, or just $12.99 every month for the rest of your life.
Saw a muskie with a Titan in his hand, walking through the streets of Minocqua in the rain. He was looking for a place called the Muskie Shop. Gotta make a deal with Elmer. Ahoo, muskie stupid. Ahoo. Ahoo, muskie stupid. Ahoo.
Don't let this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity pass you by. Elmer is ready for your call!
Let the muskies hit the floor.
All right, oh, folks, intro, welcome, man, to the Muskie 360 podcast. A ghost bird. How's it spooking?
Spooky Stevie.
Spooky Woo! Steve. Oh.
Man, that was amazing.
Good night, folks. Say good night, Jay Welch.
We're done. Out of here. See ya.
I got off. Now. Like, literally, it's we spent way too much time on that this evening.
Well, yeah.
It's very dumb.
Yeah, it is. It's
much stupid. Dumb. Very dumb. Anyway.
Good stuff.
Jay?
Yeah.
It's October. We're at the end of October. It's not icing up. It's not nasty. You can still fish.
Oh, I was out today and yesterday. Beautiful.
It's crazy. You're getting the freaking... the late time of the year, the big fish. What do you say? You were telling me the other day, like, new moon was kind of weird, but then just things popped off up there.
Yeah, new moon was kind of a disappointment. I didn't hear anybody that did much. I think that was Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, we had a hard cold front or something went through, and but just after that, it kind of stabilized, and you know, we've had like 60 degree days ever since, which is way above normal. So, and everyone's been popping a fish or two. I've heard some great, great catches from some Instagram guys and just people coming in the shop and the guides too. Everyone's doing pretty good.
Well, I'll tell you what, you don't have much time left. If you're listening when this comes out, you have a few more minutes for Spooktober savings.
Oh, yeah. That's, yep. Got a sale going on right now. Spooky. Some good stuff.
It's so spooky, Jay.
Yeah, it's scary stuff.
Jay, do you watch any of the ghost hunting shows?
Mm-mm.
Where they go out and they find cold spots?
Like, you guys like that one, though, don't you?
Don't tell people that.
Okay.
That's private.
That's on the down low.
That's on the down low. I know the one guy from the one show. So his manager's a client, and it's so funny because I watched the show and I've talked to him, and it's kind of funny. It's like,
get some inside story type stuff. Well, yeah,
I can't go there on the podcast, but basically it's kind of formulaic. I'm like, oh, I feel something.
I believe it's formulated.
Oh, you think? Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting to that time of the year, guys, where it's Spooktober. Last day of Spooktober, Jay. Into Spookvember. Just ride that for the rest of the year. A lot of guys are winding down, and a lot of hardcore guys are getting fired up. Right? Where it's going to be a matter of proper presentation is going to be the right presentation. So, you know, there's not a lot of new stuff coming out. The one thing I'll say is this is the Titan Junior. We got the sign up. We don't have the banner up. We haven't sent the email yet. We haven't done any promo on this thing. All you got's a picture of a black bait up there. And that is the Titan Junior. Sign up for it now. If you haven't, it's going to be wicked. I know how much it costs. And you guys, your jaws will hit the floor when you find out how affordable it is.
Yeah, in a good way. Right.
In a good way. So working on that. A lot of emails from trollers going, the blade. I need the blade. I want blade. The blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Josh is working on him, dude. And he's a great dude. He's a contractor. He's making these things by hand. There's another round on the way. But if you want those, get signed up for them now. Got to tell you, Jay, and I haven't even had a chance to call him yet. One of my favorite people on planet Earth, old Jimbalaya, the Tube Screamer, sent me a couple of those Abus.
That's right.
The new Max. Guys, I'm telling you this. Spent the day with them, spooled them up. Really nice reel.
Good to hear.
It is like the Max Toro, somewhere in between the Max Toro and the Revo. So I've always liked Abu stuff. I've always been a pretty big fan of Abu Garcia stuff. A, because it's serviceable. They usually have parts available. And it's well thought out, right?
Yeah.
Couple things that I like about this reel. Number one, the foot on that reel is tight on a shield rod off the rip. Now, that seems like nothing to a lot of people, but Jay, you know what I'm talking about. You put a reel on a rod, and you want it to tighten up. You don't want to have to shim it or anything, right?
Yeah.
So right. It pairs well with the shield rod right off the rip. You go, wow, this feels right. Right in that perfect 400 size. It's not
good.
It's not diminutive. It's not this small size. It feels right. It looks right. I got big hands. My hand fits in the frickin' spool pretty dang well. And everything feels great on that reel. I was shocked. I mean, because the price point, because we've been saying this we've struggled with this for the last 2 years. People write in, what's the best affordable muskie reel? How many times have we answered that? And we go, that thing is awesome. So, same carbon matrix drag pattern. A drag system as the Revos have and the Beasts. The handles are actually interchangeable, by the way, Jay.
Okay.
So the handles off a Beast fit on this guy, right? So the paddles, you got powers, all this stuff. Great reel. And it's got the clicker built in, which I thought was nice. If you're like, you know, we're going to do a short flat line pass. We're going to do this, that, or the other. We could live bait with it. So it's got a clicker. Yep. Good entry reverse. The drag is right on. Great reel. I was shocked. I mean, there's so many great offers.
$179 too.
The price point, like I said, you know, Jambalaya sent some down to me and said, hey, check these out. Put them in clients' hands. Right off the rip, people are like, wow, what are these reels? That's a great reel. You know, so if you're looking for a reel in the budget-friendly, happy place, that's a good reel, man.
Well, that's good to hear. That's because, the first report I've heard on that.
And,
so far.
And you know, brand new. I swore by, you've heard it on the podcast before, swearing by the Max Toro that they don't make anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a Max Toro, but beefed up a little bit.
Cool.
So, good reel. I'll give you the damage report as far as like what they do after 6 months of just pounding. I mean, on the same token, though, I just spent, what, a year throwing the pins on the boat? Pin Fathoms?
Yeah.
Another great reel. The Pin Fathom, Pin Squall are fantastic. So it doesn't have to be a $300 reel. The Squall is what, $209?
Yeah.
And the Abu's $179. I'm just glad that there are two reels that I know I can count on day in and day out, 7 days a week, that are going to get it done.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, dude, you fish 300 days a year with a reel with clients on the thing. How many years is that going to last your fishing weekends?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's pretty impressive. So we're sort of normalizing on some basic buys there. The other thing I'd point out this is a lot of the southern guys or you guys that are hardcore up north got a couple of the 7-inch toothy tufts and a couple of the 5.5s back in stock. Right? So those are back in. And we've been hearing big reports on the toothy tough up north.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim got a good one last weekend, mm-hmm. or like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jim's boat, I should say. But right. Yeah. Shallow version. Yeah, that's a great bait. We're just going to keep expanding on those.
It looks great in the water. It fishes very easily. I don't think there's a wrong way to retrieve that one where I go. Mm-hmm. It's a tail delivery system, if you will. You know, a lot of tail, small body, great hookup percentage. You know, they seem to hit that thing where you wanted to hit them. You know, they're headhunting it. They're blasting it. So that thing's killer. What else here? You know, Jay, I'll tell you something. Got a pretty cool email. You know how we're talking about these St. Croix Legend tournament?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the new pistol grip ones. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I got an email from a podcaster. I haven't emailed him back. I've been slammed. Said okay. He loves them. Said he fished one and absolutely loved it. Said it took him about, you know, just a few casts and fell in love with the thing.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting, you know.
I mean, the story's going to develop on that thing without question. Yeah,
well,
there's some polarized, you know, reviews on that thing so far, but mainly from people that haven't used it.
Well, that's the thing is everybody, in this day and age, everybody loves to run their mouth. It's keyboard warrior fest.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing of the facts, but I know everything. Click, mm-hmm. click, 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 click. Look at me. Who cares? Just interesting. I I'm always open-minded when it comes to things, but I read your review on that thing you sent in. I appreciate it. It's cool. I mean, like I said, I want to put my hands on one this summer when we're doing the bash or when we get up there. But it's just an interesting concept, and you don't know. You don't know, Jay. You don't know till you know. Anyway, other than that, the other thing I'd point out, right? Just pointing out newer things, something we missed that I thought was cool.
Yeah?
Goofy.
What did we miss?
Well, we missed something on the new stuff.
Okay.
And there is a O Pros jaw spreader that showed up, right?
Yeah.
We never talked about this thing, and it is cool as snot.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
So there's this new jaw spreader the Muskie Shop has that actually has rubber pads on it and a pistol grip. If you've ever been in a position where you need to use jaw spreaders, you're already in a bad spot.
Yeah, they're kind of awkward to use.
These are very cool design. Played with a pair of them. They lock in place. They've got this grippy thing on them. Way different concept on jaw spreaders. So if you are a guy where, and dude, some lakes, Jay, you know this as well as I do. We fish those lakes where they hog the baits. They're like, they yep. suck them down and that's it. If you need jaw spreaders, you don't have a set. These are really cool. And I think they're going to save some fish because the traditional jaw spreaders, I've always had a problem with them because it's like, oh, we're going to stick these two pointy points in the top of their mouth and jam yep. it open.
Can be damaging.
Right. And they seem to they flip around, and when you need jaw spreaders, it's gnarly. Yeah. When I get jaw spreaders out, it's not good. You know, I'm not like, oh, great, this is easy.
Right, you got to operate, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw me and Krieger one time. We were fishing together for an episode of Muskie Shop TV. And here's me and Josh Krieger, and we're both down there, and we're looking at each other like, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
And jaw spreaders wouldn't do it. Josh actually prized the fish open with his hands. If you want to try what with the lake I'm talking about, Jay?
Yeah, I do.
Uh-huh. And we're four hands deep on this fish. And we got him turned loose. We turned him loose. But man, was it like gnarly. So some advanced jaw spreaders would be handy in that situation opposed to the old traditional one. So pretty cool thing. We sort of just missed those when they came out, but it's kind of a neat tool to see something that's new in that realm of things.
Yeah.
Other than that, Jake, what's going on at the shop? I know the winter, we're getting to the tail end of things where people are coming up there. Sucker still in stock? If somebody's running up there, what's going on?
100%. Yeah. Suckers are available. We're still getting, you know, a great supply of wild suckers. Wild suckers
couldn't
are not
pull you
pond
away.
Raised.
Wild yeah. suckers. What? Couldn't pull you, Jay.
Yep. Anyway. Yeah, good one.
Wild
suckers.
We'll can't think ride of the verse, them but yeah. someday.
Yeah, wild suckers are just that. They're trapped. They're not these pond-raised, pale, flimsy little delicate creatures that you just don't want to use. You mm-hmm. want to use those wild ones that are absolute animals in the water and never stop kicking. So that's what we buy. And, you know, they're a few bucks more than the pond-raised ones, but they're worth it in every sense of the word. And we got a good supply, so another good solid month of season before we got to worry about ice, hopefully.
Really?
More. Oh, yeah.
You think you're going to make it to December 1?
Well, yeah. There'll be open lakes December 1, mark my words. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Other than that, yep, you know, shooting some Philosophy with Elmer episodes mm-hmm. and some shorts, and I am working on the catalog, next year's catalog. So that's Ooh. The big project for next couple months, every day. So
the winter's exciting for us, isn't it, Jack?
Yep, staring at a computer, man.
Staring at a computer. That's about it.
Yep, my exciting life.
My exciting life. No deer hunting for Jay. Just. Catalog, mm-hmm. just cataloging.
Yeah,
just the catalog.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's late. I'm getting a little sleepy. I'm hanging in there though, Steve.
Anyway, so you know, don't have a big purpose this week.
I guess not.
It's Halloween. I don't know. It's Halloween.
It's Halloween. Come on.
I just don't. Whatever. So, in lieu of I can't see straight enough to open the email. So I figure we just talk about a couple just points. Why not? And keep her brief. Keep her brief.
Yeah.
You know. So, Jay, I'll say this. Had a group of cops coming down this week, right?
I know. Right.
Uncle Rico and the batch. They show up. I pick them at the hotel. They're all wearing homemade Chris Gaines t-shirts.
These guys are out there.
They were out there. So this episode is called Don't Do What Chris Would Do. So, anything this guy does, don't do it. Bad. Mm-hmm. All bad. Mm-hmm. No, those were great guys. But what I would say is this week, has been a really firm example yet again of stick and stay and make them pay. Right? Where spots that you're confident there is a muskie on them, it has been a matter of saturation casting. So for the last 6 days, I've had groups of three, Jay, right?
Yeah.
So that's four rods just flinging. That's a lot of coverage, right? And it's noticing, colder temps, it's not front of the boat, back of the boat, it is proximity, right? Okay. So what I was going to sort of touch on is like, how do we break down a spot proficiently? Okay. When we transition from this summer thing where you're going fast casting, fast moving, they're going to come raging after it to these colder temps, you need to just slice and dice things up, period, right? Some of the bodies of water I'm fishing, I'm seeing pressure on, and not a lot of success, but if you're fishing three or four prime spots and you're really tearing up, you're really just dicing this thing up into pieces, they're going to show up, right? So how do you do that? One thing that's overlooked, I think a lot of people like come into a spot and they do that haphazard casting. And that's something I'm trying to correct. I'm just throwing their couple concepts out tonight. But don't be afraid to have your cast land 2 to 3 feet apart, right? And I know that's a tough sell for people. And I did a day on the boat where we went around this little point, right? Had a guy in the back. He's a good angler. Throwing in front of the boat. Throwing from towards the front, right?
Okay.
All the muskies are in front of the boat, Jay, at all times, right? No.
Grass is always greener. Is that what you're
right?
saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I'm running pan optics and I'm running backwards and all this stuff, I said, don't worry about that. Throw center mass, throw in front of your body. Yeah. And it was one of these scenarios where two people have been through this spot, hit it, and this guy makes a cast and gets lit up. And what I would say is this, colder water is a proximity game, right? If we get everything magically perfect, yes, there will be hot fish. Yes, they will be raging. But when we're dealing with the colder temperatures, we're dealing with colder water, that the proximity to the fish may be far more important than anything else.
Yeah. Right? You're saying the fish aren't moving as far or as fast.
Right. So
in a normal situation.
Right. Yep. So it's almost like a hit box around the fish. Like, you know, this is where you got to hit them to get their attention. So you pretty much have to hit them right on the nose. It's horseshoes, hand grenades, and muskie fishing. That's when close counts. So that was something I looked at where you went proximity. And I was just joking about Chris, great guy. But, you know, a couple of times this week, we're going four wide, Jay. Four anglers wide throwing the same bait.
Yep, been there.
Whoa.
Sure.
Four of them. The same bait, same color, right? Dialed in. But third guy back, fourth guy back, getting the looks. Second guy back. Right? There's something to be said about putting it right on them. So if you're struggling, you're a solo angler, you have a boat partner, cover that water. Chew it up. Right? If you're looking for 40-inch fish plus, be throwing baits 45 inches apart. Right? Don't do these big, wide swings. And I see it so often where I'll watch boats go through a really good spot, Jay, right? And the casts are landing 20 feet apart. Bam, 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 out. You didn't fish it. Don't conceptually go into a spot and treat it like they're hot bucktail fish, right? Don't throw at them and think, oh, they're going to move 20 feet to come see a bait. And they will not. When we get in the later stages of the year, they're not going to do it. You got to get it close to them, right? You'll catch that rare day where they are hotter than a pistol and they'll come raging. Outside of that, it's a low yield game. saturation casting. Chew that spot up. Right? Come at it two different angles. If you are confident, you go, this is where a muskie is at. This is a spot that I feel wholly confident that is going to hold a muskie right now based on my seasonality. Then why are we not covering every square inch of it?
Totally agree.
Right? Big deal in my book. You know, the hardest part of muskie fishing, Jay's finding them, right? The second part is catching them. And sometimes the catching them's harder than finding them. It's hard to catch a muskie where there's no muskies. So if you have four or five spots, you're like, these whole fish, they're fish here. You need to chew them up. Every angle, every direction, right? Two different approaches is when I'm getting to this time of year. Approach A and approach B. You go, what does that mean? That can be casting into an edge and out from, and then following up with laterals, right? So I don't want to call a spot off and go, okay, this is a really nice break line. It has dying weeds or whatever you might have, right? I don't want to throw at that from the boat, say I'm throwing off the port side and we're blasting it and we reel out. I'm not going to pull off that spot until I do laterals. I'm going to turn the boat and do a different casting pattern there to see if it's going to yield a different result. And that has proven to be highly effective for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you might throw the baits A, and we talk about this, Jay. How often we talked about the fish expect the baits to come from a natural direction in some regard.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Just like throwing to a weed edge, you're running it down the weed edge instead of throwing into the weeds and drawing it out. Do the same thing with structure and cover. Right? So if you're confident there are muskies on a spot, two angles of approach. Right? That's a big thing for me. Something else I'd say when we talk about saturation casting. If you're confident there's muskies in an area or a spot, we might want to fish from the deep and then park your boat up on the shallows and throw out as well. So that just make sure if you're confident that muskies are there, two angles of approach. Period.
So when you're trying to accomplish this, it quite often, let's say there's some wind.
Right.
You're basically maneuvering a short distance and then using spot lock and try to hover there.
If there's current or wind,
you feel that, you know, I'm just, to try to hold in that area so you can perform multiple casts in the same area and then move the boat 10 feet and continue? Or what's the program there?
Booker's always called it the clock drill, right?
Mm-hmm.
9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. But you look at from where you're at, you're the center of the clock and how far apart those casts land. I'm going tighter than that. Cast, 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 cast. Right? If I have two guys on the boat, I want the baits landing 48 inches apart max. Right? Tight casting. Tight, tight, tight. Don't be afraid of getting those baits next to each other. If you cut this place in shreds, you cut it to pieces, you're going to yield results, right? Now, if say we're in wherever, Indiana, wherever the heck we're, Kentucky, and things are moving and grooving, and they're fired up that day, you don't have to worry about it. But in general, this time of year, it's slow moving, right? Make sure we're covering it. Muskies in the late part of the year, they're using less spots, more fish. Tighter congregation of fish, right? The weeds are dead. They're dying. There's oxygenation left. I can't even talk. There's oxygen level issues around dying vegetation, all this stuff. There are more fish in a more concentrated area that will move a smaller distance to engage. right? You see what I'm saying, Jay?
Absolutely.
Tightly packed, less active. You got to put it on their forehead. I've proven it time and time and time and time again during the cold water periods or negative to neutral periods. You got to put it where the fish is as close as you can get it. Caloric risk, caloric reward, make it easy for them. Right?
Yep.
And so really slicing and dicing. I would say the one thing, and this is just overarching, whether it be in the summer, whether it be this time of year, whatever it is, I like to observe other anglers on the water, right? It is not to pass judgment. It is just to see what's everyone else doing, just like we all do, right?
Yeah, and you can really easily get a sense of the speed mm-hmm. and coverage of someone, you know, from a long ways away.
I count. You've watched me do it. I count what they're doing. I see the bait land and I count 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000.
Well, remember last summer, or mm-hmm. actually 2 summers ago when we were on that one lake? Yeah. The sand cat aficionado mm-hmm. fish, you know, uh-huh. it's just like that. Someone had just moved through that area. It's like, well, they were just here, what, 2 minutes ago?
What did I say?
They're working really fast baits and they're not covering the water properly.
Right. All right, I've had a few Pepsis here. It's Halloween. I don't care at this point. Stop fishing like the fish are active, everybody, please. That'd be cool. That'd be great, Jay. All right. Stop pretending the muskies are hot. They're not.
Oh, wishing. Yeah, they're not. Usually are not.
Why do you think for 3 years, I think we're approaching year 3, Jay, on podcast episodes, right? Somewhere
we are.
Whatever.
Yep.
Why do you think I've never done an episode on bucktails? Because I don't need to. Turn the handle. Throw it and turn the freaking handle.
When they're hot, there's probably nothing better to use.
Right. Bucktails are great. I had two people ask me this, like, why do you hate bucktails? I don't hate bucktails. I'm sitting here looking at 500 of them hanging in the bait cave. Bucktails are awesome for fish that are active. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of podcasts on Here's What to Do with Bucktails podcast. Go listen to that crap. If for some reason you live in a place where it is rainy and cloudy every day and somehow is magically prefrontal, the best way to catch muskies is to be realistic and go, they're not moving. Sorry, I'm not going to go crawl down the rabbit hole here, Jay. But I got a couple of, why do you hate bucktail emails this week? I love topwater and I love bucktails. There is no instruction manual needed. You know? That's it. Jay.
Yeah, there's tricks and tips, of course, but yeah. I mean, right.
Don't let the blade stop.
Bucktail keep on churning.
Bucktail keep on burning. I don't know. I'm in a rude mood, baby.
Mm-hmm. It's Halloween.
Halloweener. Halloween. Halloween. Are you a big Misfits fan, Jay?
Misfits?
Yeah,
no.
Me either. But, you know, I don't even know where I was going there.
Neither do I.
If fish are rocking and rolling, you don't need help. That's how Goober Thompson caught his fish. Oh, Goober Thompson was throwing double wing wang on the ting tang collar. Heard it on the Johnny Dung Dung podcast. It's a hot collar on Lake Ding Ding. I mean, give me a break.
It's a hot collar.
Jay, I'll tell you what. If you ain't got that pink flash in that thing, you ain't going to catch them. Oh, give me whatever. Get real. Get real. I'm just a mess. Sorry. But But anyway, Jay, I'm sorry. I'm tired. I've been out trick-or-treating. Guess what I dressed as this year, Jay?
I was going to ask you. What did you dress as?
Slutty cop.
Oh, okay.
After
I
Uncle
did that last year.
After Chris, and Uncle Rico, and Tom and the boys.
Yeah.
Rochester represent. Anyway, now I dressed as a dirty musky god. That was my thing.
Okay, go on.
What do you dress up as?
Well, for tomorrow at work?
Well, I wore my JBO hat and a jean t-shirt. I don't know.
Dressed as Dave.
Dressed as Dave. Yeah, I got a Halloween costume for
me. I think I'm going to dress as Todd tomorrow and shock some people.
Mm-hmm. I dressed as Mr. Concealed Carry. Anyway, goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Straighten it out here. Back to musky fishing and things that make sense. What I was getting at, and we're just rambling here and having a good time, would be really tear places up. I mean, if you want to just boil it down to things that matter, if you are confident the muskies are there, Jay, the crux of the matter is, cut that place up at multiple angles. It's so important. The other thing I would say that this time of year, whether you're north, south, whatever it is trolling during primes. We just talked about this and we got a ton of emails, Jay.
Yeah, that was some good stuff last week.
Troll during the prime time. Don't turn this into I only troll when the sandwich stuff. I had guys asking, how do I determine? I would say the best way, and this just answers about 30 emails I got, split the major. Right? I thought about this. How do you do it? Without a read, right? Now, at a certain point, I've been making notes. I've been working on how to read the water. It'll be the most epic podcast ever. You think the structure podcasts have been good with big listens? We'll get there. Because the read, and I'm trying to work out how to articulate how to read the water. But if you don't know, you don't have a read on the body of water, you don't have a history with a body of water, might be the most important factor, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do I determine? What I want you to do is split the majors up, right? When do I troll? When do I cast? If it's a 2-hour major, guess what we're going to do, Jay? Hour. Unless something happens, right?
Yeah, if you get some great feedback, that's one thing, sure.
Right. If we get open water feedback, don't just go, I'm going to go cast shallow. Be logical about it. Give it its due time. That's how you become a better troller, is giving it ample time to materialize, right? So we don't want to go out there and troll the trash time like we talked about, right? Something else has been a big question this week. Yet again, it's that time of year, rubber, Jay. We've done some rubber podcasts, but yep. Rubber setup. So something I need to cover that's going to cover a bunch of emails we got here at the app this week. And all you guys that wrote in, thank you so much asking this question. Walk me through a really solid general rubber setup for standard deuces, standard dogs, up through pounders and mega monsters. What are you thinking? Like XX heavy shield? What's your thought? Line pickup? What's sort of the breakdown on gear there?
Fast pickup, super heavy rod, you know, an extra heavy or two extra heavy, depending on the brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shield rod, go with an extra heavy.
Mm-hmm.
St. Croix, go with an extra heavy. Big plastics. Yeah, something with quick pickup. You want to get 35, 40 inches of line per turn retrieved.
Give me gear ratio because it's what everybody knows.
Well, the gear ratio will tell you one thing, but it's the size of the reel that matters. So mm-hmm. The most important thing is line per turn. You know, most normal size reels, whether it be a 60 Ebo Garcia or whether it be a 400 size in a Shimano, those gear ratios are around upper sixes, I believe, to around 7.0 to 1, and that'll get you close to 40 inches, and that's going to pick up line quickly, and whether you're working fast or moderate type of plastics, that's what you want. That's what you need. Line, 80-pound Cortland, 80-pound, you know, nothing less than 80.
So
leaders, yep, leaders. I mean, that's, you know, there's, that's debatable, but you know, I like fluorocarbon. I think they allow the bait to swing and move perfectly in the water. You know, 12, 14 inch fluorocarbon leaders, 130 pound, work great.
So I throw, broken record here, I throw the extra, extra heavy shield rod and that Tranks high gear.
Yeah.
Or the Beast. Love the Beast. Other, what are other double heavy? Chaos makes a double heavy. St. Croix makes a double heavy, correct? Extra, extra heavy.
Yeah, the Chaos is the Shock and Awe.
Shock they and call Awe. It.
So, yeah, they've got little names for them. St. Croix does, too, on some of their rods, but not on the Premier Series. They've got nicknames for them.
They have some fun nicknames for the rods, James.
Yeah, they have the, what was that new one called that we liked so much?
I don't know.
I can't remember either. But anyway, yeah, they got some good names. Catchy stuff.
Catchy stuff, so, folks.
Yeah, extra heavy.
But
you know, something that's like 3 to 10, mm-hmm. 4 to 12 in that rating minimum.
Very cool. And since I have to carve pumpkins here in a little bit, Jay, because I've been on the boat all day, the other overarching question this week I want to cover, because I'm being lazy. We're going to be lazy this week. We deserve it. It's almost 3 years of this. Deep running trolling baits. Question we keep getting. Number one, reef diggers. One of my favorite baits. Jay just did a killer video with Tom LeBeau, who makes what I always have said forever, the cheapest custom baits in the business.
Yeah, yeah.
Reef diggers, right? That bait is bad. What a killer bait, right? What are some other deep running trolling baits that sort of pop in your head, Jay?
Let's see here. Well, I like Cisco Kids. I like 1800 Cisco Kids. I mean, those will troll 20 plus.
Yeah, with enough line. Yep.
Yeah, there's some, you know, Legend makes some good ones. There's not many available right now. And they're real expensive. If you want to talk affordable and good, mm-hmm. I mean, depth raters are great. Solid depth raters I really like.
Straight, yeah. Again, by that, solid, you mean straight.
Yeah, the straight model, you know, that's non-jointed plus. Yeah.
Well, the thing is this, we've talked about...
And the Slammer, you know, this time of the year, the 10-inch deep shad. That big, thing is cool.
Big dude, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But, you know, there's been 10 or 15 people writing something along these lines.
Okay.
We talked about it before, which is you can put lead in front of anything.
Yeah.
2 ounce ball lead. But that quintessential deep runner, the thing with the Cisco Kid is you can bend that lip. Now, it takes experimenting, but you can get different things out of that lip, right? It's just screwed on there. So you can bend the lip and get a different running angle. Again, add lead to that. But, like, I mean, for me, if I have to hit deep, 15, 20 feet, reef digger, Cisco Kid. The other thing I'd point out, I don't personally have a problem with running 30-pound mono. I don't. Or wire. Right? When properly ran, 30-pound mono with a leader is a doable thing. How many years was that the jam, Jay? 30-pound mono. Forever?
Yeah. Yeah. That's all that was out there. Absolutely. Right?
So, you're going to achieve far greater depth with that. If you're new to the game, don't play with mono, but you're a serious troller. I think I said it last year that I have a couple reels with 30-pound mono in the boat. And that's just a depth game. I have them on hand. I'm not running them every day. They're not on a rod, but they're rigged up. Well, I'm like,
yeah, I mean, some people, when they're run, that's old school thinking right there. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are using it because they feel like they land more fish once they're hooked trolling with mono, because there's so much shock absorption right. with that, or there's so much stretch
with that, dude. That's, to me, that's like set your drag right though. Set your drag right. I'm not worried about it, but to me, it's just like, come on, man. You know, it's a running depth thing. The old landing more fish, running a snubber. Remember snubbers, Jay, on like freaking dipsy divers?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, I don't need the stretch to hook the fish. just on braid to set the drag appropriately. I like the mono, and usually if I'm running mono, I have my drag just cranked on trolling rods. I'm running that to hit depth that I'm usually not trying to hit, right? And if I'm running mono, I am thinking Reef Diggers, Cisco Kids. What else am I running on those? Rarely.
Smitty Deep Lunges.
Yeah, Smitty Deeps. Oh, goodness. Some of the DB08s.
Yeah, DB08. Yeah, I mean, Northland's got those now. Those right. just came out. I'm yeah, trying those to think. Are cool.
Now, it's not a very often deal, but if I go, okay, it's cold, they are deep, how am I going to get there? I have a couple cheap, and there are Boo Garcia round reels that are rigged up with 30-pound Berkeley Big Game. I might use them 4 times a year, but when I need them, they work.
Hey, I was going to say, too, that 8-inch Bagley that just came out by Northland
yep.
that we got finally. That thing, I love that thing late season because it wiggles and runs so well at slow speeds.
Mm-hmm.
Other baits need a little bit more kick. They need to be going well over 2 miles an hour to get a good wobble. But that thing, you know, like, you know, if you want to run 1.7 or something like mm-hmm. that, it looks great. That's what I like about them.
You know, it's just one of those rare things. It's just an option. Like I said, you can get better depth. God, I really don't even know anybody that's running leg core or wire hardly at all. And that sounds crazy, but
yeah, when you see need a lot it, of you days. Need
it. It can be done, folks. You know, if it used to work, it will still work. It's just out of fashion, you know. I'm trying to think of the weird stuff I've done, which are, there's some weird, like, saltwater cranks I'll use on occasion. You know, Mans, Jay? Remember Mans yeah, stuff?
Yeah, Stretch Series?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Stretch 30.
You can do crazy stuff. You can stretch that thing down to 50 if you need to. So there's that. But what else, Jay? There's some other stuff we've been talking about this week. And this is the rambling, goofy Halloween, I got to carve a pumpkin podcast.
Mm-hmm. What else? What else? What else? What else?
I'm just trying to just cover all the emails. Other than that, something, and we got probably 5 or 6, Jake versus Grandma, right? It's an action thing. Grandma's tighter, Jake's wider, in general, right? Now, I think the best way, maybe, Jamie, we need to do a side-by-side, a top-down on those, trolling one day out in the boat, maybe the summer when we're filming, right?
Mm-hmm.
To see that. So you see, like, the baits that are like the same size and this is what they look like, right? I think the read on that a lot of times is the colder the water, the slower the pace. I like that tighter grandma where if I'm going for fast, hard action, that Jake's going to be the jam, right? That would be a consideration there where it is the same difference between, say, a slammer and a crane bait and a slammer and a shallow raider, right? Not all baits are the same just because they're in the same size class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the other thing I'd ask you this before I shut up, guys, it's Halloween. Happy Halloween, Jay.
Hey, I've got a question for you.
What's that?
Got a question from Greg. He wants to know, he knows you're a left-handed retrieve guy, and, you know, there's less options out there. He wants to know what left-hand reels you really like.
What I really like?
Yeah, I like which ones work the best for you?
I like bedtime. me sleep.
Because you've got some Akumas, right?
I have.
Like some Komodos that you like.
So I have Akuma Komodos. I have Tranks High Gears 400s. Mm-hmm. There's the HG. Jim gave me that one that's like 8.5 to 400. It's like that thing could pull a satellite out of space, that one. Mm-hmm. I've got the standard 400 in Tranks, and then I have a litany of the Revos in the Beasts. My hands down all-time favorite reel they don't make anymore, which is the white Revo Toro.
Yeah, that basic one.
Yep. It sucks.
Bulletproof.
No one likes it. I have five of them.
So many guides have the same opinion. It's crazy.
Uh-huh. Favorite reel ever. When I fell in love with it, I bought five. I cracked the frame on one. I don't know how I did it, but I fished that thing for eons and cracked the frame. It's a great reel. I love it.
The truth is it's the only reel that doesn't backlash on you.
No? Yeah. Well, my day. Thanks. Oh, man. Burn. Oof. I get backlashes. Ouch. I don't care. What of it? When you do it, it's a backlash. When I do it, professional overrun.
That's the difference
difference right there, folks.
I had a couple.
I'll tell you what. That frickin', I've got the Tranks, and I took all the anti-reverse out of it. I can backlash that thing like a pro. If I'm not paying attention, that thing is a rat's nest, son. I did myself a disservice. You know the little things that are on the spool where you can pop off little plastic pieces? Day I got it, I took all those off, and I took my file and I filed that spool down a quarter inch so it can't touch the anti-reverse stuff. Holy smokes. If I mess up with that one foul thumb and that thing's a mess. Sure. Now, if it came down to it, one reel that they make right now is the Black Revo Toro Beast for a left-hander.
That'd be your number one pick.
That'd be my number one pick of what I can buy right now. Number two option is going to be the Akuma Komodo. I don't know. That's it.
There you go. Okay.
I don't know if it matters left or right, but being a true lefty, I don't know, dude. I'm not going to name brands, but if you retrieve left-handed, you know, A, there's less options. B, for some reason, they don't care about left-handed reels, and they just sort of reverse the schematic and just throw them out there. And I tend to have more problems with reels than a right-handed angler, right? Because literally, like, Jay, I don't know if you know this, in the old Abus and in some of these old reels, they would just flip the parts. They would invert, like, their anti-reverse paws and stuff, like the clutch bearings. They're just running backwards. Boom! You know, upside down and backwards just to get it done. I could sit there. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a reel tech, but I'm just going, man, I'm blowing these up. But the Akuma Komodo, the Beast, those are both very good for a left-handed angler.
And durable.
I mean, the weird thing for me is, like, I run the Akuma Convectors or whatever it is. I run
the trolling reel?
The biggest honking trolling reel because they're all left-handed. And I finally gave up. I used to have all right-handed trolling reels. I said, why am I dealing with this? I got to set the things out, you know? So it's all left-handed trolling reels, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that it matters.
I've seen it.
But, yeah, it's not the weirdest thing you ever seen, but, you know, it brings them in.
Yeah.
But whatever, Jay. Anyway, buddy, we have been grinding all week. This is a goofy podcast. It's Halloween. I have to freaking carve a pumpkin, Jay.
Well, send pictures.
Have a normal life. I will. Anyway, Jay, say goodnight. We'll do a big old Q&A next week. Guys, we just tried to cover the base.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Say goodnight.
Good night.
Later.
A muskie's by the boat, he's about to take it. You start to freeze, you figure eight, but you are weak in the knees. It's just a thriller, chewy thriller night. till the grim of night.
JSC presents the classic Halloween songs of muskie fishing. The greatest muskie fishing Halloween compilation ever to exist.
It was a monster catch. A monster musky catch.
He did the mash.
It was a monster catch.
He did the mash.
A monster musky catch.
Oh.
I was fishing in the lake late one night.
Oh.
When my eyes beheld a slimy sight.
Oh.
Pulled a monster from the deep with a dive and rise.
Oh.
Hit the bait to my surprise.
They did the mash.
It was a monster catch.
The monster mash.
A monster musky catch. A monster catch.
They did the match.
A monster musky catch.
But the hits don't end there. Over 734 hours of classic musky Halloween songs from JSE.
Musky, gonna catch you in a figure eight. Gonna catch you on a glide bait.
Songs of Musky Fishing, $4,043, or just $12.99 every month for the rest of your life.
Saw a musky with a Titan in his hand, walking through the streets of Minocqua in the rain. He was looking for a place called the Musky Shop. Gotta make a deal with Elmer. Ahoo, musky stupid. Ahoo. Ahoo, musky stupid. Ahoo.
Don't let this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity pass you by. Elmer's ready for your call!
Let the muskies hit the floor. Let the muskies hit the floor.